Hello and welcome to the Evergreen Way podcast, where we explore how to be a healthy leader for the long haul. My name is Andy Needham, and I have the privilege of serving on the team with Converge Northeast. And today I want to bring you one of our team members, actually our team leader, Regional President Tim Ponzani joins me on the podcast. We talk about church health. We talk about the history and heritage of Converge Northeast. And here is something that we are very convicted in, is that no pastor and no church should be going it alone. You're going to get to hear the heartbeat of what we get to be about. And whether you're new to Converge, whether you're part of another network, or you've been part of Converge for many years, I think that you will find this very instructive and very helpful for you as we talk about how churches work together and some of the DNA that makes that happen. One thing I want to highlight for you really quickly is a couple of gatherings that we have coming up, particularly for those engaged in international ministries. If you are a missions leader, if you are a pastor with a heart for missions, which I hope you are, these are gatherings that are going to just be really, really, really helpful to you. So Candace Fish, who you've heard on our podcast, she was on season one. She is our point leader in the Northeast and helps work with our international ministries team. And she is organizing, we have a Connecticut gathering and a Massachusetts gathering. May 1st is our Connecticut gathering. May 2nd is our Massachusetts gathering. And Ivan Velhuizen, who leads, is our senior vice president of all of Converge International Ministries, is going to be here. And Ivan, I've had the privilege of getting to know him over the last few years. I've had the privilege of being with him with our global workers overseas in Africa. And he is just a catalytic leader, somebody who really has done an incredible job of shaping the vision of what missions can be. And so we just want to encourage you, May 1st, Connecticut, May 2nd in Massachusetts. If you have any questions about that, please reach out to our team. You can reach out to me, andy@convergenortheast.org. But we would love to see you at those gatherings. Right now, I want to jump right into my conversation with Tim Ponzani, Regional President of Converge Northeast. Well, listeners, we have a true privilege today of getting to, and Tim, you have a marker here in the history of the Evergreen Way podcast. I think you're the first person to get invited back, and that has nothing to do with the fact that I worked for you, but we're going to have a great conversation today about what we get to steward over alongside our board and the rest of our staff, which is Converge Northeast. And listeners who want to hear the little bit more of your calling and story, can go back and listen to your first episode, which was fantastic. Mm-hmm. But maybe you can step us into the story today in terms of what is your history with Converge Northeast?
Yeah, that's a great question, Andy. I first learned about, in those days it was called the Baptist General Conference. I first learned about the BGC when I joined the staff of Valley Community Baptist Church in Avon, Connecticut in 2005. And as I was in the onboarding process with the church, I began to hear about some of the heritage of Valley. And in fact, it was founded by two Swedish couples, that their heritage and one of the older women, her name was Elaine Kurt. And Elaine was in one of our Swedish churches in Brooklyn. That's where she grew up. And she was very good about communicating some of that Swedish heritage to me. In fact, it's very interesting because there's another couple whose son just completed an elder term at Valley just this past year. But Lillian and Rooney Mensah were one of the founding couples of Valley. And when Rooney passed away, I was asked to sing "He the Pearly Gates Will Open" in Swedish. And so that was kind of my baptism into the Swedish Swedish Baptist Church here in Avon, Connecticut. So anyway, that's kind of my introduction. And then as I served on staff, I would be one of the staff members sent as a delegate to the Converge Northeast meetings, and really got a taste of what the conference ministry was like here in the Northeast. And it was a good stepping stone because it's able to meet other pastors and other churches and really get kind of an idea of what this ministry was all about. So that was kind of my intro for 14 years, really my intro into Converge Northeast.
That's great. you know, sometimes when people haven't heard of Converge, they'll ask like, what is Converge? Or especially Converge Northeast, like what yeah. Northeast is kind of a, I've had to change my vernacular because I grew up as a New England kid and we have on it, blessed to have great churches in Eastern New York and Metro, New York City, New Jersey. But yeah, can you just describe a little bit about who is Converge Northeast today?
Yeah. Yeah. Again, another good question. Converge Northeast is a network of autonomous, you can use independent, Baptistic churches really aligned around a mission. And that mission is to really reach people for Christ. And there are ways that we do that. There are things that we come alongside our churches. We'll probably get into that in a little bit. But the big idea is that we want to rally together as a network of churches to reach more people for Christ.
Mm, that's great. And a distinctive in that is that we really, and this has been our heritage from the beginning, but we are much more of an association than yes. a denomination. Do you want to talk about like the difference yeah. between that and how that yeah. works in our polity? Yeah.
And really the way I think about it is that particularly the ministry that you and I have as teammates and then our extended team, and then we have our national team, our regional teams, and then the local congregation. If you think about it this way, the local church is really the tip of the spear. This is where ministry is really activated, and the role of the regional team is to support and come alongside the local churches. And from a national standpoint, the national team comes alongside the regional teams. And so if anything, we want to support the ministry, the call, the vision of the local congregation, because that's really, we want to bring local back into the church. And really, in terms of relationship, we don't exercise command and control. We don't act in a supervisory manner. We really are basically consultants, if you will. But I think it's much more than that. Because consultant is almost impersonal, is that we really want to build the relationship and come alongside and understand the heart of the leader, the heart of the local church, so that we can best help them fulfill what God's called them to do.
Yeah, I love that. You know, this, I sometimes I'll say like what I love about, one of the things I love about Converge is that we're kind of like a startup network because we're lean and we do not have a lot of bureaucracy. We have no authority. we have to lead through influence, which is a beautiful, beautiful thing. Right. But we also do have a heritage. We'll get into that today too. It's not a new entity. It is clear on orthodoxy. It has a great heritage. And we draw from that history in order to be able to understand how we operate going forward, whether it's the history of the church that you served at that was a church plant. Every church is a church plant. And at the same time, just helping existing churches is another big thing. So and then in terms of geography, what makes up the Northeast?
It's fungible a little bit, but we have representation in all of the eight New England states, and then part of New York from Syracuse, roughly eastward through Long Island, and then the northern half of the state of New Jersey.
I have to correct you. I think you're inventing some states. There's six New England states.
Six. You said eight. It's eight. Sorry, it's thank okay. you. It's,
we
it's
have eight states total.
Eight you, states yeah. overall. Right. Thank you for the correction.
Yeah. Well, you could kind of say Northern Maine and Southern Maine, you can probably divide right. into pretty
yeah.
easily.
Well, so. and certainly New York, you know, right? So you have Manhattan and then the rest of New York.
Yeah.
No, I stand corrected. Absolutely. I have lived in New England for like almost 40 years. And so.
Yes, you are fully in the team, and we have eight states represented totally
right.
In total. So let's talk about some of the values of our yeah. network. And I love the phraseology of this. And this is something that we lean into and think through how we do ministry, who we are, you know, all these type of things. And so there's four core values that we describe, mm-hmm. and I'll just kind of list them one at a time, and then maybe you could color some of what that looks like. So the first one is that we are a network that is spiritually dynamic.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's interesting from an introductory standpoint, I almost think of these like, think of up, in, out, right? And so yeah. up, in, out. And I think you can apply that as individual followers of Christ, but also as the body of Christ through the local congregation. And so really the spiritually dynamic piece of this is really that upward focus, where we're focused on God, His majesty. We want to give Him glory. We want to honor Him. We trust in the authority of His word. And that's really the foundation, I think, of anything in our lives, is that, you know, we're better together, meaning we're better in relationship. We'll get into that in a minute. But it all starts with that upward relationship with God through Jesus Christ.
Mm. Yeah, I love that we start with that too, because I mean, we do offer a lot of great systems and tools and resources that can help churches get unstuck, help them focus on their mission, help them not have to think about things that could be sideways energy. But at the end of the day, like you said, the tip of the spear is the mission of God through the local church.
Right.
And we never want to lose sight of our, you know, that's really why we exist. So, and then I think the next one is really kind of how we do it, which is relationally devoted.
Right. And, you know, just like think of the family relationship and how, again, not perfect, but in a family, the how we are knit together, and certainly in our biological families, but also that's true within the family of God. And we want to be knit together. We are for one another. We are in communion with one another. We celebrate together. We grieve together. We mourn together. All of those things that happen within the context of a family and in the body of Christ, that is the same. And so we want to experience those things together. But here's the great thing. Think about an extended family through multiple congregations. And so if we think of a network like Converge, not only in the Northeast, but around the world, that we celebrate the common things we have together in Christ, and in unity, we want to move forward to see people come to Christ. Again, that's the missional part. But again, it stems from the upward relationship, the inward relationships that we can have with one another as people and churches. But then the next part is the outward focus.
Well, one thing I want to call out that you have done a great job of leading our team in that's tied to this, that I wish was true of every network and every church association, but sometimes I hear that it's not, which is that part of that is that we are available to people. we work to respond to them. We are, you know, we think that it's important that if a pastor or a leader reaches out to us, that we, even if we don't have an answer for them, we say, we hear you, we're going to work on an answer. That's just one of the things that you will find sort of an expression of that value within our team and within our system. And that's just something that I think is in the way that we've structured our ministry. We may talk more about this later too, but with advanced teams and trying to build it, it's really not just about relationship to us.
Right.
It's really about the connections. To me, the most beautiful parts are when our friends become friends and when kingdom-minded people get connected to other kingdom-minded people. That's when I feel like Converge is really hitting its stride. So that's a...
Yeah. One of the images that I've always thought about, Andy, in this is that it's really this idea of servanthood. You know, no matter what position we hold, whether it's in a hierarchy or not, you know, the image that always comes to my mind is Jesus taking off his outer garment, wrapping a towel around his waist, and washing the feet of his disciples. And if I could think of that imagery, how much more should we serve our leaders? And again, that's how that image of the upside down pyramid is, that our job is to come underneath and serve our local pastors. And I think what's always informed, and if you, part of my story, you remember I worked in corporate life, and so I worked on this idea of servanthood even then, is that, you know, with a lot of people, you know, 500 stores, all that kind of thing that I worked with, our store managers heard from me within 24 hours. And I've kind of carried that with me all throughout my professional career in ministry, is that, you know, we want to be there and be available no matter what level, is that if a pastor calls in the middle of the night, we're going to be available. So that's just that's the value behind the values.
Yeah. I love that. I mean, I consider it just a real privilege, because we love our pastors. We love our leaders. The idea, I think, so often is like, we wake up in the morning, we say, we get to wash the feet of the people who wash the feet. Like, that is such a beautiful privilege that we get to
do that.
So, yeah. And that ties right into the next one, which is missionally driven. And this is, I think, a really core distinctive of Converge in terms of how we operate.
Yeah. And I think that is the simplicity, right, of being part of this network, is that there may be things that other networks, other denominations do, and they're good at. That's awesome. But mm-hmm. but we want to be driving forward missionally. And that is, we want to plant more churches. We want to see more people come to Christ. We want to send more workers onto the field, whether that's raising up pastors and leaders for the local church or sending missionaries overseas, is that it's pretty straightforward. And that starts with the health of the local congregation. Are they a multiplying congregation? Are they multiplying disciples and leaders with the mindset of not holding on to them, but sending them out into the harvest?
Hmm. Yeah. And we don't really try to make churches in our image. We really try to hear from God, you know, when it comes to the start, strengthen and send. The contextualization is such, we're not a playbook planting network. We're not, you know, we do offer frameworks and suggestions and offer right. ideas to people, but we really are not a prescriptive network. We want to hear the mission, that the way that God is helping our pastors and our leaders live out the mission and find ways to knock down the walls, put gasoline on it. Like, that's what we're all about. And that allows us, this next one, culturally diverse. Mm-hmm. And there's many ways that this is expressed, but it allows it to be true.
Yeah, and I think that's interesting, because if you think of the Converge Northeast, and really historically, diversity has been part of our movement here in the Northeast for really many, many years. And Pastor Sullivan Vadrine, who is lead pastor of one of our key Haitian churches in the Boston area, if I remember correctly, they became part of Converge in like the early 1970s, almost the whole time he's been pastor there. And he just celebrated his 50th year of pastoral ministry as lead pastor at Boston Missionary Baptist Church. And so we currently have around, it's 25 or 26 Haitian churches, and then we have churches that from other ethnic backgrounds, Brazilian churches and a Chinese church and a Japanese church. And so again, diversity has been part of our movement. And we also want to encourage our local congregations that they should really reflect the community where they are located. Mm-hmm. And so that they should be an environment that welcomes people of all races into their congregation, if the community reflects that. I mean, we should be welcoming no matter what, but I think it's really moving towards, are we reflecting the community that we are where we are located?
Yeah, and the other way that this cuts, and there's probably other elements of it too, but just the diversity, like New England itself and the Northeast is not monolithic in terms of context. I mean, I grew up in a rural poor community. I was part of a BGC church. I served at a wealthy suburban church. And we have many churches in urban, and even, and again, as you and I have had the privilege of getting to know our pastors specifically in like the metro New York City, I mean, these are people that are within, you know, less than a mile from each other and live in radically different worlds and from many aspects, like obviously ethnic diversity. I think one of our church plants in Queens, Astoria, there's 180 languages in the community. Yeah, it's crazy.
When you and I've talked about this, is that when we've visited the city, and we've really listened to our pastors there, they describe to us as like, look, just the block over looks very different. And the church that, you know, we have established here may not connect with the folks who are living over there. And so it's really given us a greater understanding that we need to rely on leaders who are in situ, right, in that situation, to help guide us as we think about church planting and multiplication, particularly within the city. And then on the other hand, I was just speaking with a person that, Andy, you've sent our way about our potential church plant in Great Barrington, who has a really a calling on his life to really think about what does ministry to small places, to rural areas look like. So very different kinds of churches in our network.
Yeah, it was interesting when I was talking to that individual, like he had connected with a person in that area and was stunned that they drove 45 minutes to an hour to find a Bible preaching church. And there still are pockets You know, I tell people when I'm outside of New England, you know, there are pockets in our region that would qualify as unreached people groups international mission standards. And that on the one hand is disheartening. On the other hand, like that's our opportunity, which is,
that's our opportunity. That's exactly right.
Yeah. Yep. So we've already mentioned some of these names, but I want to unpack it too, because Converge has been the banner that we've worked underneath for maybe the last decade and a half or something along those lines. But we have a couple other historic names that do inform the sort of our story. So prior to that was the Baptist General Conference. People often know that as the BGC.
Right.
When I was a kid, that was, and when you started at Valley, that was the name. But prior to that, it was the Swedish Baptists. And so maybe you could kind of skip a stone through some of that narrative and how it shaped who we are.
Yeah. Yeah. And in our history, you can go back to the kind of really the roots of who we are. It was a person in Sweden who became convinced of believer's baptism by immersion. That person had a Lutheran background and became convinced and convicted of that, and then began to influence folks in the country of Sweden, but ultimately moved to this country. And there began a movement with Swedish immigrants in the United States. In fact, if you were to look even within Converge Northeast, I believe, if my number is right, we have 13 congregations that were originally started as Swedish Baptist churches. Mm. And a couple of them of note, we have up way up in Northern Maine, Trinity Baptist in Manhattan. And so again, we have these legacy congregations that are still part. In fact, one of our churches in Quincy, you can go around the sanctuary and you can see the Swedish names on the stained glass windows of someone who's donated those windows, and the family names are all Swedish. And so that's part of our heritage. So the heritage was Baptist who were Swedes, and so the services were in Swedish. And then fast forward to the next name change when they became the Baptist General Conference, we began to see the Swedish language, the folks speaking English, but non-Swedes becoming part mm-hmm. of the movement through evangelism, through affinity. And so that's what prompted the name them to drop the name Swedish. And then fast forward another few decades into the early 2000s, and then around 2015, our name changed to Converge. Because what we found was, particularly as we were doing ministry around the world, and I want to be careful how I say this, we are committed and convinced Baptist. But the name Baptist was prohibitive, particularly in certain parts of the world, as we tried to reach more people with the message of the gospel, and that we felt that the name Converge would allow us to have more access in certain parts of the world. The other fact is that many of the churches really from the early 2000s onward that were started or planted didn't even have Baptist in the title. Now, convinced and convicted Baptists, but didn't have Baptist in the title of their name of their church.
Hmm. Yeah. Sometimes when I will share this part of the story, like I love to draw out that we were started by immigrants, which is a beautiful part of God's providence in our story. And then I often will say that the gospel did its work among this community, and they looked around and they weren't all Swedish anymore. Like that is the yeah. implication of yeah. the gospel is yeah. yeah, that it will move a community towards the, God's heart for the nations, right. which is, you know, we continue to do that. And, I was on staff at a church in Westboro, Massachusetts. So I was kind of glad that it wasn't the Baptist church because of the unfortunate, associations with those two words. But, at the same time, that is a historic, and long-term church in our movement.
That's right.
Well. And there's two other, elements of our heritage that I think are really interesting to me, which is, you know, we kind of are birthed out of the Reformation Anabaptist movement, but there's one of the distinctives is this idea of Pietism,
right.
Which was a movement and not exclusive to the Anabaptists, like the Brethren and others would be a part of that movement as mm-hmm. well. And my summation of it in the most simple terms is it really the integration of learned theology and lived theology.
Right.
And that we do have a high value for scripture, for the idea of like, we want to be thoughtful about the way we think about God, but we also are not purely academics. We are actually embodied followers of Jesus, who the fruit of the Spirit should be expanding and transforming the way that we live today on the other side of the cross. And so there's some principles that kind of tie into that. I don't know how you want, do you want me to read them off here, or do you have, I don't know.
Go ahead. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. And we can just kind of, I'll read all of them and we can kind of lean into them. So these are some of the things that we draw from that heritage. One is the centrality of the Word of God converges on apologetic in that. The necessity of personal conversion, a commitment to godly living, which is that integrated life, a witness to the world, an active concern for those in need or the needy. And then the way that that comes together, and maybe you can expand on this piece here, a strong doctrinal convictions with loving concerns for people with divergent views. And the way that that is described is this old English word, the Irenic spirit. So maybe you could unpack that a little bit more.
I mean, and if you think about this, I think all of these phrases are important. But what I'd say is, it's the fact of that's on the centrality of God's word, that's foundational. Yes. And no matter what we do, being grounded in God's word and its inerrancy is vital as a church movement. Because without that, you can have some of these other things. I would argue personal conversion, probably not, but the other things, we can be nice to each other. We can be concerned for the poor, and that's awesome. There are a lot of good things we can do, but without the centrality of God's word, certain things begin to fall apart. And so I think that's really key. Now, it is interesting historically with Pietism. Pietism was really, I don't want to use the word quite reactionary, but it was an adjustment, if you will, to the formality of the state church, which in Eastern Europe happened to be the Lutheran Church. And so even in the Reformation, there was a formality of the state church, and the Pietists were really, no, it has to be more than that. And so there were kind of a couple of elements that came, this idea of personal devotion and holiness and a genuine spiritual experience. And what I read into that is a conversion experience, because even the formality of the state church, it came to be kind of rote. And so as the Swedish Baptist really began, and now what is Converge, that heritage of coming out of Pietism, but also the Anabaptist movement out of Switzerland, and that beautiful coming together of the kind of those streams, if you will, from the Reformation has formed what we have today. And so each of these phrases are important as we understand. Now, the last one, the bullet, or this idea of you know, we can have strong doctrinal convictions. Now, I will say that we want to be kind of grounded on the essentials, right? You know, the Bible is the Word of God. Jesus is the Son of God. There are a handful of essentials that you know we're going to be on target with those. And there are other matters that are not necessarily essentials. They might be end times conversations. They may be creation conversations. Things that are not necessarily salvific, but they're important. They're important to know and understand and have a conviction about. But they don't rise to the level of an essential. And so when we come together, we're going to have those differences on non-essentials, but we're going to still love each other. We're going to still be in fellowship with one another. We're going to be in community with one another. And we're choosing not to divide over those things. And I think that is a distinctive of the Converge movement. Is that, now, are we perfect in that? No, but that's what we strive for. We strive that, you know what? We can have differences of opinion on eschatology, and you know, we're gonna love each other and still be in community with each other.
Yeah, one of the ways that I see that work itself out is I just came back from a church planning assessment center, and you get to see it on both sides of that community, because you have a diverse group of church planters who all have different modalities and ideals of what a church should look like. And we have everything from micro church to multi-site and everything, every expression in between. Right. and we don't really evaluate the, like, again, we're not model specific. So you see that on that side, but then you also see it in a beautiful and, you know, kind of the working out of that in the assessor room as well, because there are times when we have to kind of set aside our preferences on, you know, well, I wish they used that word instead of this word. You know, and again, on areas of conviction or on nuances, we're not talking about whether they think Jesus is the only way to God or that scripture is inspired, but we are talking about how we do church. I think it's important, and I think you'd agree with this, like churches do need to have corporate convictions and their circle needs to be even wider than converges, but we are able to converge and work together, even in spite of some of those corporate convictions, in a way. And it's not the end. This is not an all come movement. We do have, again, you have to align on the central statements of faith. We have doctrinal distinctives around Christian
That's
marriage
correct.
And human sexuality. And we have that Baptistic heritage. So, we love our covenantal paedo-Baptist, brothers and sisters in Christ, and we'll high five them, but that would not be someone who could be a part of Converge, just as an example. So it's not a boundless, but that Irenic spirit is a partnering spirit. So
that's correct. Yep.
Yeah. That's great. So I want to talk a little bit about the more recent history of Converge, and we both had different seats on this bus, which has been really fun, and grateful for the opportunity to steward it in different ways. But it's particularly in the Northeast, like any network, if you go all the way through our decades of heritage, you're going to find, I mean, in the 50s and 60s, Converge was planting churches at like in an amazing clip in our movement. And there's other seasons, and that's the nature of a movement, frankly. Mm-hmm. Like there are going to be times of incredible harvest, and there'll be times when we're, you know, feel like we're in the spring or the winter of our movement as well. But God has done a great work in our region, particularly over the last decade and a half, to take something that always had great churches. There's always been great churches as part of Converge, but the connection and sort of alignment, affinity, and sort of momentum of our network is stronger today than it's been in a long time. And so we don't in any way want to take credit for that. We're stewards of it. It really is God's work.
Right.
But I think it would be a good thing to we would be missing to not celebrate that together. Yeah. So maybe you could color a little bit, because you get to see it from being on staff at a church, the way that, you know, there was a moment where some churches got together to kind of really help resource the network forward. And then the different leadership, maybe a couple of the markers along that journey that God has done that has helped us get to where we are today.
Yeah. Yeah. I think, Andy, the way I look at that is, you know, you and I both, we stand on the shoulders of the men who've come before us. And I want to give great honor to guys like Brent Allen and Paul Hubley, who sat in this chair and really allow us, you know, from that foundation, are really allowing us to do what we do today. But what I'd say is not a but, and what I'd say is that you always have to be reinventing how we do something, right? And so a lot of times the role in the past has been really the pastor of pastors, someone who's connecting with pastors, walking with pastors, and that's still part of it. That's still a vital piece of what we do. But sometimes we need to do that differently, because especially as we have more churches that are part of the network, there's only so much one person can do, let alone two or three. So we have to have different ways of doing it. But then as you dig into that and say, well, where are we going? Are we actually helping churches? Are we helping to plant churches? Are we helping churches to become strong? Because I also look at it this way, is that, you know, we think of start, strength, and send. as a church, you can't start new churches and you can't send workers into the harvest unless you're strong. And that goes back to that spiritually dynamic congregation that's really focused on God's word, focusing on that upward relationship, but they're growing and multiplying to the point that they say, how can we expand our influence? How can we plant another congregation? How can we send missionaries into the field? And so I look at our role now is yes, as we come alongside or we you know have those relationships with pastors, and sometimes in the darkest times of their lives, but how are we rallying our member churches to something larger than even their local context, and saying, how do we as a network work together in a like-minded way to reach this region for Christ and also to reach around the world? And so that's really the space that we occupy, is less, well, along with the pastoring, it is helping our churches grow and expand and think regionally and globally.
Hmm. Yeah, that's well said. And it's been such a joy to see. It's been the, like you said, the shoulders we stand on, the men and women who served on the board, who've led the movement. God continues to bring the right people at the right time. The generosity of our churches that has allowed us, yes, to do more with, you know, we're blessed now to have the problems of having more church planters going out. So yeah, how do we resource them? And, you know, I often pray, like, this is a personal prayer and a corporate prayer, but like, God, give us new and better problems. Like, right, we're never going to get rid of having challenges, but we want to see new ones. And God has been really, really good at doing that. And maybe just speak a little bit about the growth of the network.
Yeah.
You know, yeah, over the last decade.
I want to always caveat, just as you said, we want to give God the glory for us, to him be the glory, not to us. And you know, what I say is God has been pleased to allow us to do this. And so, you know, just a few years ago, our network is around 86 congregations. We're now around just under 120. For a season, you know, Andy talked about some of like the 60s and 70s where there's a lot of activity in church planting and even into the early 2000s. But then there was a gap of some years of really seeing, we had some churches planting churches, mm-hmm, but more of one-offs than really anything else. But really within the last several years, and I want to give you credit, Andy, because you're really the point person for this, is our church planting. In 2019, we set a goal, or I set a goal because I was by myself, of 15 church plants by the year 2025. And I'm pleased to say that we will surpass that number. We may have already surpassed it. I think we're still debating. We're definitely at the 15 already in 2024, and there's a potential of being at 16. And so really, God has really attracted guys and people who want to plant. And so we're really seeing growth and vitality. We're seeing growth and vitality in our church engagement. And that's really been through the genesis of what we call our advanced teams. The advanced teams are really the local expression of Converge in an area of the region. And again, this helps you and me and our staff team from, you know, we like travel, don't get me wrong, that's part of the role. But what this allows is we have an area pastor assigned over a group of churches, and that's really the first point of connection for our pastors and our churches in a particular area. And we have five of those teams right now. And so that's really helped Andy and Jenna and me focus on more of the strategic initiatives of how we are doing ministry advancement in terms of growing the network through affiliation and growing the network through planting.
Yeah, I'll just share a word of affiliation, because I'm hoping there's some pastors of multiplying healthy churches that are listening to this today that are looking for a community to be a part of. But that is one of the things that we are seeing, is that we're not just seeing new churches join Converge, but we're seeing churches that are joining because they want to be on mission together. Mm-hmm. And so we've seen churches join in areas that were underrepresented in our map, and we're even prayerful, right, about more that will become a part of it. And I just want to encourage churches, like, Converge is your non-denom. We're the ones here to help you. Again, it's all about the church, that, as Tim has said over and over, the tip of the spear is the local church. This is not going to be a bureaucratic add-on. This will be a mission advancement for you to be a part of this type of community. And yeah, there's great resources and there's things you can tap into, but really you're getting a partner to walk alongside you in ministry, to help you solve your problems, to be there when you're in crisis, but then also to help you realize your dreams and to be able to see, you know, I love that we have some churches that are joining pregnant, as I would say.
Yeah,
they're already thinking about the churches that they're going to be planting. So let's say we would count it a privilege. And, you know, the other thing I want to just commend, this is in the ethos of Converge, but you've also really led this is that we're kingdom partners. Like, we obviously want to care and steward over the churches that are part of our network and give them all the attention that they need. But we also realize there are other gospel movements that we want to partner with in our region. And, you know, we'll pick up the phone for any church that is preaching Jesus.
Right.
You know, if we can't help them ourselves, we'll find them. And I would just say every church needs a network. And I think, you know, obviously I'm biased because of the role that I sit in the seat in my heritage, but Converge is one of the best in that. So,
yeah. And I would say it like this, Andy. I totally agree with everything that you said there, is that if you think about it, as a human being, we're not meant to go through life alone. We're meant to be, you know, certainly in that unit of family, but I think also as followers of Christ within the body of Christ, and that's which is the local expression of the church. I think also that churches are meant to be part of a larger whole. And again, I think with Converge is, again, we're not top down, we're not demanding, but we want to be that network that's helping, that's rallying, if you will. We become a catalyzer for churches who are interested in reaching out more regionally and globally. And I think that even across the aisle, as you mentioned this, Andy, working with other networks, we also recognize we're not the only ones who want to reach people for Christ. And so we want to work with like-minded networks and partners because we know that we're not going to reach everyone by ourselves. And now there are certain things we can do together, certain things we may not do together, but we can be for one another as we're trying to reach more people with the gospel.
Yeah, and we've both worked to maintain good relationships with the leaders of other networks because we want to see New England thrive for the long haul and want to model,
right,
even as a network leader, what we hope our churches do and not be competitive in those spaces. So I want to look ahead a little bit in terms of from your seat. You know, there's obviously some unique challenges to this year that's ahead and some of the things that are going on in the world, but then even maybe you could expand it beyond that threshold of what do you think are the unique challenges that churches and pastors are facing from what you observe?
Yeah, I'll probably be a little all over the place on that, but I first start with, let's start with this year. I think let's talk about, you know, we're in an election year. And as followers of Christ, I think we have an opportunity to speak into that and rise above the partisanship that, yes, that can even come into the church. And I think that you and I have talked about this, is that, you know, we want to begin to have some dialogue well in advance of the national election, because I think it'll be helpful for us to talk and dialogue. How are we going to navigate through that? How are we going to help our people navigate through that? Because in our churches, we know that we have people on kind of that kind of represent both sides of the political spectrum, but yet our responsibility is to shepherd all of them. And so I think let's have some conversations there. I think also ministry in a post-Christian context. And even in the 40 years I've been in the Northeast, the spiritual climate, it's exciting, first of all, but it's just different. And it's helping our churches think about how do we actually get out and be the church beyond the walls of our church building, because it less and less the case where people are actually going to, non-believers in particular, are actually going to come to the building to an event, an activity. They may, but I think more so it's because we've gone out and reached out and developed a relationship that earns the trust so that we can then begin to have spiritual conversations. So I think more and more like that. And I'll just say it this way, no matter where you live, and I think particularly for our pastors and pastoral couples and leaders, is that, you know, are we focusing on your health? And I think the health and vitality of our leaders is vital. And I think so goes the pastoral couple, the health of the pastoral couple, so goes the health of the congregation. There's a direct linkage there. And so I think particularly in a season where ministry is not easy, I think we both recognize that it's a joy, it's a privilege, but it can be hard. And so are we coming alongside and walking with our pastors through sometimes for pretty tough seasons of ministry? And I think those are a couple things that come off the top of my head.
Yeah. And I think that's one of the spaces where a network like Converge, whether it's you and I or others in our community, is like pastors need to have safe friends to be able to process their own spiritual journey,
right,
to talk about their challenges that aren't gonna, you know, that aren't their, you know, they need to have a health relationship with their board. And that's a whole nother topic. But, you know, if you're spiritually dry, like you need to have a place to go, for that. So I love that you called that out for sure. And pastoral health is a massive one. Mm-hmm. And then, let's, on the positive side, what would you say are some of the things that give you great hope and optimism, not just for Converge itself as an entity, but really, yeah, for our churches and for the gospel in our region?
Yeah, I think the main answer is God is moving. I think that's the thing that really excites me, is you see people engaged with the gospel, as you see the growth and expansion. I mean, just this conversation today with this particular guy who might be a church planter with us, that just really gets me going, that there are people who want to do ministry here in the Northeast. And I think I shared this in my last podcast with you, is I grew up in a town of 5,000 people that had 5 evangelical churches, all pretty significant size for a small town. We know that's not the case for the most part here in the Northeast. Mm-hmm. And but yet that excites me. And I think some of the key leaders that are part of this movement, that God has brought in within the last 3 to 4 years, that really is exciting, because as I think, mm-hmm, about, they are going to be the ones who really come together and catalyze a bunch of other leaders that we can begin to work together for this common goal. And so, again, that really excites me to see how the church is moving and growing here in the Northeast.
Yeah, I mean, we definitely feel the need for more pastors and planters. But I will say, at the same time as I say that, when I meet the emerging leaders and pastors that feel called to this region, it gives me just unbelievable hope, God is calling and raising up leaders for the future and sustaining those who've been here. Like you said, that we want to see people here for the long haul as well. And so that's such an exciting thing. So one last question, kind of turning towards the national side of Converge, is that, yep, we are heading this June into a important kind of marker in our history as Converge broadly, but also just a great gathering and a time to galvanize our movement with our S2 conference, which is now S2 East, is going to be in Indianapolis coming up in June. And can you speak a little bit to, yeah, why people should consider this being worthy of their travel and investment, yeah, to be able to see Converge in a national way?
Yeah, great question. Yeah, I think that, so I'll use a little bit of translation tool right now, because S2 may, like, well, what is that? That's something that we haven't really done before. Well, in the past, we've done an event called Unleash that used to be in the wintertime in Orlando, and then Reach, which was more international missions oriented, and our biennial in the summer. We did, last time we did Reach was 2022. Well, think of Reach and Unleash are now S2 East. And so that's, we're going to be gathering in Indianapolis June 25th through the 27th. And also we will be celebrating our biennial meeting as part of that. And so a couple reasons why to come. One, you get a chance to meet other Converge leaders from around the country. And so I'll tell you, that's one of the most exciting things, when you get to rub shoulders with people in the Northeast, the Southwest, the upper Midwest, all parts of Converge. We learn that, oh, they have similar things to what we have here, and meaning some of the same opportunities and challenges, and just to hear, I think, more stories of what God is doing. So I find that the networking times are incredible. There's going to be incredible keynote speakers. We're going to have a bunch of workshops. I think it's upwards of 30 to 40 different equipping workshops. And I'll say this way, some of the workshop leaders would be keynote speakers at our advanced conference in the fall. So again, an opportunity to come together, and also incredible worship, and again, just coming together at Heartland Church there in Fishers, Indiana, and really spending that time in worship. And then I don't want to be presumptive, but I'm hopeful that we will be celebrating the election of our president, John K. Jenkins, to a new 6-year term. And that's part of one of the culminating events at the conference itself. So love to have everybody there. It's basically a big family reunion. That's another way to think of it.
Yeah, it's really like a event expression of our values, yep. You know, spiritually dynamic, relationally devoted, culturally diverse, missionally driven, all in the course of one event gathering. So reach out to us if you'd like more information about that. You can also go to converge.org. I think it's s2con.com or you can search for it. It's a weird URL, but converge.org, I know we'll get you there. And we'd love to see you there and be able to connect with you this summer. So Tim, thank you so much for your time today. It's a privilege to be able to talk about this work. And I just want to say again how thankful we are to those whose shoulders we stand on, those who've stewarded this movement in the history through the board, and especially to our pastors today who are serving faithfully in the field, many of them in obscurity, but doing the faithful work of the gospel in places that are hard to reach, that God is well pleased with you. And we are honored to be partners with you in this work. So thanks so much again, Tim.
Thank you, Andy. Privilege.
Thank you for tuning into this episode of the Evergreen Way podcast. On behalf of our entire team at Converge Northeast, it is a privilege to bring you these conversations to help you to be a healthy leader for the long haul. We would love to connect with you. Find us on Instagram at Converge Northeast and feel free to send us a message. It's an easy way to connect. You can also send me an email directly at andy@convergenortheast.org. That's andy@convergenortheast.org. Let us know what resonates with you, as well as any ideas or suggestions for topics or interviews for future episodes. We appreciate it when you follow or subscribe on Apple Podcasts or Spotify, and know that a positive review is a simple way that you can help more people discover the Evergreen Way. Until next time, this is Andy Needham with Converge Northeast. Thanks so much for tuning in.